Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Nun Vav, the 56th Psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a Mizmor which is made up of 14 psukim, and it seems to be an oscillating tone. The first of the psukim is the Kotevet. It's a rather long inscription or introduction, and goes as follows. Lamnatzeach al Yonas Eilem Rechokim leDavid Michtam Be'echoz Osoi Plishtim Begat. For the conductor of the mute dove, far away a michtam of David when the Philistines seized him in Gat. We'll get back to the historical context of this in a moment, but just in terms of the actual flow of the Mizmor, there's a backwards and forwards. The first two psukim, Beis to Gimel, of the actual Mizmor, are a call to help from his enemies. He talks about how he's in mortal danger of being killed. Then suddenly he switches back to trust in salvation from Hashem, from Psukim Dalad to Hay, where he talks about how Yom Ira ni Elecha Avtach, but when on the day of fear, I will trust in you. Then he switches back to Psukim Vav to Ches, where he talks about the actions of the evil and the request of their fall. Finally, he goes into positive test, a prayer to Hashem to accept his tefillah, his return to trust in Hashem, Psukim Yud to Yud Beis, and finally a promise to pay back Hashem in salvation. Olai Elokim Nedorecho Ashalem Todos Lach. I'm going to pay you back, Hashem, for saving me from the situation. There is a conceptual refrain of trust in this Mizmor. That means to say that it's not exactly the same words, but there is this refrain, this repeating idea of trust in Hashem. So in Pasuk Hey, as an example, Be'elokim Ahalel Dvaroi, Be'elokim Botachti, Lo Yira Mayaseli Vasarli, I trust in Hashem, and the repetition of how I trust in Hashem and praise Hashem, and what can flesh do to me? That seems to be repeated in Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis again. Be'elokim Ahalel Dvar, Ba'Hashem Ahalel Dvar, I'll praise Hashem using both the names of Hashem there. Be'elokim Botachti, Lo Yira Mayaseli, say Adamni, what can a human being do to me? That's why I trust in God. So that seems to frame the whole Mizmor, and in between these are his expressions of fear of his enemies. The central theme is, of course, the narrator is being pursued. It seems like not just by one enemy, but by many enemies, and his expression of fear, his expression of exasperation while being pursued. And he oscillates between his trust in Hashem and his fear, and the very real fear of those enemies who surround him. In terms of the events behind the Mizmor, the Kotevet, the inscription or the introduction, makes it pretty clear that this Mizmor is about a particular event when David HaMelech is Be'echoz Oso Pelishtim Begat, when the Philistines capture him in Gat. What is this referring to? So if we trail back to Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof Aleph, towards the end of the Perek, this is when David HaMelech has discovered that Shaul is out to get him. It's not simply a mood swing. It's not simply Shaul HaMelech having a bad day. Shaul is determined to eradicate David. David flees, and when he is pursued, almost being killed by Shaul HaMelech, at this point in time, he realizes that he does not have a standing in the land of Israel. He runs to the Philistine territory in the area of Gaza, as we have it today, to Achish, the king of Gat. And we're told that he comes into the court, and Achish is actually pretty favorable towards David. However, we learn in Pasuk Yud Beis there, in Pasuk Perikop Aleph, Vayomru Avdei Achish Elov, Haloi is David Melech Haaretz. Isn't this David? Haloi Lo Zeh Yanu Mecholos Lemor Hika Shaul Ba'alafov V'David Beruvavoysov. Isn't this the one that Shaul HaMelech only killed the thousands and David killed the tens of thousands? Meaning to say, David HaMelech, how are you allowing this Philistine murderer into our court? As David heard this, he got terrified, and he realized that he was in a mortally dangerous situation. So Vayeshanu Es Tamo Beinehem, he changed his time, his reason. He started acting as if he was a madman. He started drooling on his beard. He started scribbling on the walls. And at this point in time, Achish says to them, "Wait a second, this man's crazy." He says, "Hallo, chasar meshugoim ani? Do I have a lack of madmen in my court? That you brought this man to be mad over here as well?" And he sends him off. And that's a narrow escape. What you see over here is, it sounds very clear that this Mizmor is talking about David HaMelech, how he has enemies who are plotting against him. In fact, Chazal describe that the person who spotted him was a person by the name of Yishbi. Yishbi was the brother of Goliath, the giant who David HaMelech killed on his first debut as part of the army. And Yishmi is seeking revenge. When David Melech sees this, he realizes there's no way he can hide. When he is in Israel, he's been killed by his own, trying to be killed by his own father-in-law. When he is out of Israel, he's been killed by the enemies. He thought that maybe, now that he's an enemy of Shaul, he can find refuge in those people who are enemies of Shaul as well, like the Philistines. But, as the court and the soldiers of Achish point out, one's enemy's enemy is not one's friend. And therefore, David HaMelech is found in a very difficult situation over here and realizes that on all fronts he is being pursued. On all fronts, there is no rest for him. He feels completely surrounded. It is possible, by the way, that this Mizmor, as the Da'at Mikra points out, Rav Amos Chacham, could be globalized to a broader message about the nation of Israel, meaning David HaMelech could be using his personal experience to extrapolate to the idea of Yonas Eleim, this mute Dav. The Dav is always a symbol of Israel, who's this, in a certain sense, victim personality, where it's this quiet, peace-loving creature which is often taken advantage of. It's muted, it doesn't have a voice. And this perhaps is Rechokim, refers to the idea of the idea that maybe Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is in a far away place as it moves from exile to exile, as enemy after enemy, don't give any respite, don't give any sense of arrival or calm for the nation of Israel before anti-Semitism raises its ugly head once again in every single new society that Israel is found in. It should be pointed out, by the way, that this Mizmor is very similar to Mizmor Lamed Dalet, which we say on Shabbos in the Psuke de Zimra, where it talks about David when David Melech changed his reason. He acted strangely in front of Avimelech, who was the name of Achish, the king, when he got kicked out. It is possible that Mizmor was said after, in praise, after he was saved, after he got kicked out and returned to his safety. However, this Mizmor, it sounds like it's being said in the clutches of evil. It's being said when he is actually in the court. He may be either intuiting whether he is saying this as he is in this terrifying plight, and this is actually in the clutches of the difficulty. It should be noted the Gemara in Sota, as is quoted on Daf Yud Amud Beis, as is quoted by the Chida, as is quoted in the Torah Tamima over here, do point out this may also be referring to another episode in Tanakh, and that is the episode of Tamar and Yehuda. Tamar is the woman who is actually the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. She is seeking to be able to establish the name of her lost husband's heir and Onan. Yehuda does not allow her to marry Shelah, the third son, and Tamar tricks him into having a relationship with her. Ultimately, she is being taken out for adultery. She's going to be killed, and she doesn't say anything. She doesn't accuse Yehuda outwardly. And she is able to sort of in an innuendo, she says, does anybody recognize who this stick, this signet belonged to? Giving Yehuda the opportunity to admit rather than accusing him outwardly. And that's the Yonas Eleim, that is the Yonas Eleim, this muted dove, so to speak, where she is in control, but she's doing it in a way which is extremely tsanua. It is through that process that yields a Peretz, who's going to ultimately be the ancestor, the patriarch of David HaMelech himself, which David HaMelech recognizes that in his constitution, in his very existence, is the idea of being this Yonas Eleim, of being this quiet dove to the injustice of society, the injustice of circumstances around one, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately protects us. In terms of places in our Tefillah that this appears, it doesn't appear wholesale. However, it should be noted that Yose ben Yose, who's one of the Pietanim, one of the poets who puts together the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah in the section of Shofrot, the third section of the Brachos on the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, does put together a Piyut which starts as off by saying, Pekod Tzipor Bayis Derosh Yonas Eleim, Tokav lamo b'shofar ushrok lamo b'kol. Hashem, take notice of the house bird, seek out the mute dove, and blow on her behalf on the shofar, call out on her behalf with a voice, obviously using, co-opting the ideas in this Mizmor about sort of the silent victim who is a victim of circumstance, victim of many pursuers. In terms of psukim and the words in the spotlight, the word which should be noticed by us first of all in the pasuk aleph is michtam. Michtam is a hard word to translate. In fact, most of the translations just call it a michtam. The Ibn Ezra suggests that this word is michtam is umikesem paz. It really is the idea of kesem is an idea of gold. It's a very precious. It's dear, like Mizmor Yitesh Zion, like the 16th Mizmor in the book of Tehillim. His Michtam la David is a very precious one to David HaMelech, obviously said at a point of extremely high emotion, and as we know, things which are at high emotions, whether it be fear, whether it be joy, whether it be sorrow, are extremely memorable to us. To David HaMelech, this is a very memorable moment in his life as well. Finally, just closing with one other pasuk in the spotlight, and that is pasuk Tes, a very fascinating pasuk. Noidi sofarto ato. There's a lot of beautiful poetry over here, just to understand the actual meaning of it. The way it is translated over here in the Living Nach is, my soul awake, it goes as follows with the translation. You have kept account of my wanderings, put my tears in your flask. Are they not in your record? And there's a poetic play on the word nod here. The first time the word nod is used, it's used to describe the word movement, as the Radak says. Mispar hanidudim shenodadti v'tishmerei mimcha v'kach nikmosi me'ovai. I've had to wander. I've had to be kicked out. I've had to flee. I've had no place. I have no constant place, David HaMelech is saying. He says, count all my wanderings, and perhaps nationally, count all the exiles, count every single country in Europe which has kicked us out. Count all the persecutions where there was never an accounting for. Count all those things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and place them b'no'edacha. The word nod now is spelled at the end of the pasuk, is with all these tears are in a nod, which means a container like a flask. Meaning, count my wanderings, capture my tears, Hashem, and remember them. In the end of the prayers, at the end of the day of Yom Kippur, we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu should place our tears in his container and keep it close to him. This is based on this Mizmor in Tehillim. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Hey, Amu Beis expands on this and quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says, in the name of Bar Kapra, Chol Amoirid Dema'ois Al Adam Kosher, if you cry on behalf of a person who's really a good person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sofronu Manichon Beveis Gien Ozov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take them and count them and place them in his treasure house, Shneimar Nadi Sofarta Atos Simo Dimosim Erodcho Haloi B'Sifra Secha. And what the Gemara seems to be doing is the Gemara is expanding this. The Gemara is saying that it's not just about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you count my tears. It's if I'm willing to cry for somebody else who's deserving, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will specifically count your tears because of your empathy for that other person. Meaning to say, what starts this process is the empathy for others, which allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to be able to store that empathy, to be able to charge that empathy, and to be able to utilize it ultimately for Rachamim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful